Don't worry, we'll turn the lights off when we leave. But we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Myers up on the left wing, and he's got a break in on the wing with a shot. Scores! The Vancouver Canucks on Bo Horvat's shot beats Campbell and wins it in overtime.
Bottom line, that was unacceptable. The Canucks topped the Maple Leafs 3-2 in OT. Four straight losses now for Toronto. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick on Twitter. Sam McKean, Danielle Furtado along for the ride as well. Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca will drop by. We'll hear from Sheldon Keefe and others. But we were weary of it on Leafs Nation pregame that this could be your classic letdown game, trap game, whatever you want to call it, Gord. I guess great on Vancouver considering what's happened, their first game since March 24th, but it's just the same old playing down to your opponent, is it not?
We're comparing it to the David Ayers game, the Zamboni goaltender last year for Carolina. That was a gimme for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you had to give Carolina credit and lots of credit for winning it, but the Leafs did nothing to alter that course. Same tonight. Tip of the hat, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, got to give a few tip of the hats out there as far as Braden Holtby goes to goaltending. Bo Horvat, 2 goals, 1 assist. Tyler Myers plays over 30 minutes. I mean, tip of the hat to them. Disgraceful by the Toronto Maple Leafs. Utterly disgraceful by the Toronto Maple Leafs. This is why you lost to Columbus, okay?
Yeah.
This is what Leaf Nation fears about. Where's the intensity? Where's the smarts? Where's the urgency? Okay, this is what happened in the bubble, and you got out goaltended again. Okay, the other goaltender was great, Jack Campbell. Very ordinary again. He's been a great pickup, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying this is exactly what happened to Columbus, and you've got to avoid it. You cannot allow these kind of games, period.
That is why I work with one of the most professional broadcasters of all time, period. Because Gord Stellick, it doesn't matter which day it is, he'll bring it. It's a Sunday night, and I'm right there with you. And I'm sure Leafs fans listening right now are right there with us, because I don't know about you, Gord, this brought back shades of the bubble where you played down to your opponent. I know they threw a ton of shots on Braden Holtby. That was a spectacular save on Wayne Simmonds late in the third period. But it's like they said here, Vancouver, stick around. You know, at the end, we'll give this game to you. And Bo Horvat, credit to him, the captain, scores the OT winner. But I just thought the Maple Leafs were just trying to be way too pretty in this game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Then the third period, when you're looking at the urgency, the fatigue factor, it weighed in favor of Vancouver. And so the Leafs shot way more, way too many toe drags, you know, way too many of those kind of plays. And then up 2-0, they finally get that overtime goal. And then they have that terrible shift. Zach Bogosian jumping in the rush, Travis Dermott out of place as well. So Vancouver comes back and gets a big goal. And you're up 2-0. And it's that situational awareness, as Sheldon Keefe's talked about at different times, and they had none of it. And again, they did not get a big save from Jack Campbell. Vancouver got a ton of them from Braden Holtby. He just played phenomenal. But man, you could taste this. You could taste this.
Doesn't taste too good, does it?
No. You got a 5-minute major penalty, and the reason you got it is, unfortunately, and we'll hear from Sheldon Keefe, I mean, the knee-on-knee hit to Zach Hyman, that doesn't look very good. So kind of like Jake Muzzin going down in the bubble as well. One injury seemed to really deflate the Toronto Maple Leafs. This is going to be a big injury. This can't deflate you. You got Nick Foligno coming. He's going to play next game. You got a lot of depth, but you got to win in spite of injuries. But boy, the consummate game in, game out, consistent player beyond Austin Matthews, I found, has been Zach Hyman.
Yeah, it really was a double whammy because, again, that's the underlying storyline in this game. Zach Hyman leaving after a knee-on-knee from Alex Edler. He got a game misconduct in 5 minutes for that, and the Maple Leafs end up scoring on that power play. But we don't know the extent of Hyman's injury. That's the heart and soul, no doubt, of this hockey team. And then you go on to play that way in the second half of this game and lose this game 3-2 in overtime. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick breaking it down. We've just seen this way too many times. Where would you compare this? Would you compare it? And I think Ralphie made a great point to that 5-1 blown lead to the Ottawa Senators earlier this year.
Yeah, that's the only comparable.
Yeah.
That's the only comparable situation. And again, we keep things in perspective.
We do.
It's usually an 82-game. This year, it's a 56-game regular season. So certainly one game does not a season make. But we understand that. But just there's certain statements that can be made.
Oh.
You made a real bad statement tonight. And you made a real bad statement in that Ottawa game as well. So let's see what the next statement is against Vancouver. I mean, the Vancouver Canucks basically the league interceded and said it was almost inhumane to get them going up 2 days ago. I'm not saying this mockingly at all. I mean, they've been ravaged by the effects of COVID. So it was understood tonight that they were having the most difficult comeback of any COVID-related protocol suspensions of play for any of the NHL teams this season. And we said the only way you can lose this, and again, give the Canucks credit, but is beating yourself. And basically by a lack of smarts, a lack of intensity, a lack of getting more shots, trying to be cheap, just a lack of a lot of things, the it factor it took to win, Vancouver wins.
And I think Ralphie brought up another great point, as he normally does on the broadcast. It was 2-0. A bad pinch by Zach Bogosian leads to the goal that got Vancouver ignited in this game. But again, Braden Holtby deserves a lot of credit, but Toronto, you know, let Vancouver hang around. And we've seen this so many times in the NHL. You're right. It just leaves a bad taste in my mouth considering what this team has been through the last couple of years. And we like to think, I certainly think going into this season, the Maple Leafs were out to prove this team is different. But you get firm reminders of the past this season, you know, the 5-1 game, this game, you know, a couple of ruts in the play where they can't score, the power play. I want to look forward and not to the past.
Yeah, and hopefully that's something the team understands. I'm sure they do and reacts in response to it. Nick, even in overtime, like, the Canucks are exhausted. I thought it was a gimme for the Maple Leafs on 3-on-3 overtime, and they never got a chance. Vancouver dominated overtime, the 3-on-3, up until they scored the goal.
Touch the puck.
Auston Matthews had a weird one where his stick broke, and then they, you know, which otherwise would have been a chance, they got it out, but he didn't have a stick, and yada, 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 whatever. Vancouver puts it in the net. So I was even going to say, expecting the Leafs to win 3-2 in overtime, it was inexcusable that this game got to overtime.
The Maple Leafs now 6-5, by the way, on the season in OT, and I like the long-term perspective. They're still going to the playoffs. They're still likely to win first in this division. They pick up a point. But the non-call or the inconclusive call there is obviously a bone of contention. Not really for me, because it's pretty much black or white. You don't see it. You can't call it a goal. But the way I saw it, Gord, it looked like that puck crossed the line, but puck tracking is not here, you know?
Yeah, and boy, what a great play by Auston Matthews. First hit the crossbar, but then Vancouver thought they'd won the game on a crossbar too. So it went back and forth that way. And then just kind of a strange one. There's no question Mitch Marner had the eagle eye to see exactly where the puck was, but the referee was already waving off the Auston Matthews crossbar hit. So I don't think was caught a little bit by surprise by that puck, as was Braden Holtby, by that puck kind of flukily, I guess, bouncing in. It looked like it bounced in, then, you know, whistle goes and Holtby is quick to flick it out. So you're not sure where it is, but it looked like it was in. But because they did not conclusively see it go in, that was the call on the ice, and the video didn't conclusively show it going in either, even though it showed where it ended up.
Four straight losses here for the Maple Leafs. You're very, very right. And I think unless you have full proof that the puck crossed the line, which you can't go on assumption, it's no goal. And the right call was made. Not to mention a couple posts late in regulation, one for Vancouver, one, as you mentioned, for Auston Matthews. It was really, really close. I think you give the Leafs a bit of credit. They got to overtime, but again, just a sour, sour taste in Leafs Nation, because to me and others out there, it always seems like the Maple Leafs continue to be the laughingstock and the brunt of jokes. You know, the David Ayres game, blowing the 5-1 game, losing to the Vancouver Canucks. They've been off for 3 weeks due to COVID. They come back and they have more energy than you. I don't know. This team just seems to lose games that are sort of laughable. But again, it's more important how they react and respond to this.
Yeah, they're still in first place. Yeah. Again, keeping perspective. Yes. So Zach Hyman, I mean, he could be gone a long, long time.
Tough.
But the minutia of that play was they lost Alex Edler, the Vancouver Canucks. Him and Tyler Myers were playing the whole game. So so for this game, okay, they lost one of their top two defensemen. So on top of that, the Leafs at least capitalized in the waning seconds on that 5-minute power play. So good. They got the 2-0 lead. They don't have the change of momentum because of the 5-minute power play being killed off. And Vancouver add Alex Edler to an injury-depleted team, an exhausted team, and you bleep that away? You bleep that away? Seriously? Come on. I mean, that's exactly the point when they did.
30-08 for Tyler Myers in this game, but you are completely right, and you have two young defensemen on the back end in Vancouver, and you couldn't take advantage. And I get it. You give some credit to Braden Holtby, but we talked about it throughout the broadcast tonight that the Leafs are passing up shooting opportunity. I know Bonesy brought it up during the broadcast too. Shoot the puck, you know?
Yeah, that's where when you heard Joe and Jim bring it up as well, it kind of reinforces what we're seeing. And, you know, Mitch Marner's having a monster season. And I know his thing is quite often assists rather than goals. But, you know, he's just one of those guys that it's almost looking, because he is such a great playmaker, unselfish with assists, that he's making that extra pass when it isn't necessary. I just thought a lot of guys were doing that tonight. It was Galchenyuk was doing that. Man, Joe Thornton is really due a goal. He was getting a decent amount of ice time and not able to put one in. And Nick Robertson and on and on and on. Like, for every excellent save there was, and there were many, but Braden Holtby, there also were, you just passed up a better scoring chance for a worse scoring chance, and then you never got the puck cleanly on the worst scoring chance, and probably saw that a dozen times.
How much money on the board did Travis Boyd and Jimmy Vesey have in this game? Don't answer that. a bit of optimism via social media. Luke Fox putting this out, and we expect to be joined by Luke Fox at Sportsnet.ca coming up. John Tavares saying Hyman was optimistic in the dressing room.
Okay, well, that's, quite often you mention it. A shot on the knee that's a bruise, that's whatever. It hurts like hell.
Yep.
It hurts as if you tore a ligament. Sometimes it hurts more initially. So he didn't go off on a stretcher and like that, but he was laboring quite a bit, as you would expect, heading to the dressing room. And one guy who chooses his words carefully is John Tavares. So mm-hmm. I hope that Zach Hyman played on one leg in the playoffs two years ago. Okay, so when we talk about the Columbus syndrome, The last guy, whoever you criticize in the playoffs, is Zach Hyman. So this just adds to it as well, that if anyone's going to miss any playoff time, that, you know, he's about the least guy you could afford to have that happen.
And I'm happy to have you here to keep me grounded, because we were watching this game and I was about to blow a gasket, because number one, we called it on the pregame show that this was your classic letdown game and it was coming because it's the Maple Leafs. But number two, it just always seems to happen. This happened to Columbus, not to bring up that series, but they should have beat the Columbus Blue Jackets. They were shut out twice in five games in that series. You have all these guns you pay all this money to, and then you lose to Vancouver, who hasn't played since March 24th, Gord?
Yeah, I mean, you go back a year where, like I said, the Washington series a few years ago, and that was great. Leafs had a 2-1 lead. They lost in six, but this was this team coming of age, the first playoff. They got a standing ovation leaving the ice, as they should. And then we have the Boston series that went to seven games. And the second one was, okay, this is when the Leafs pass the Bruins and have it in game six, then don't, then come up with the worst game again in game seven. Then you have a dysfunctional end-of-year media conference with Mike Babcock and Kyle Dubas. So you waste a year because of that. You waste a year because of that dysfunctional in the front office. You salvage it by getting into the playoffs, to Sheldon Keefe's credit and to the team's credit, they did. And then you bleep it away again against Columbus. Just a completely lethargic, malaise, empty effort, and you're kind of shaking your head. And so that's why this year, if we get a little bit, and I'm speaking on behalf of fans, overreactive, it's because what was inexplicably happened in the summer. Can't happen again.
And again, the interesting thing about this exercise, if the Maple Leafs don't do something substantial here in the playoffs, there's going to be change. We're not going to speculate on what kind of changes, but this team will look different, right? And it could be sort of the bigger players on this roster. So it's up to them. And I think Nick Foligno is a really good add to this team. He's a leader. He's played in the playoffs. He's that type of guy you want. But I think, and maybe you disagree, I think it's a lazy narrative, considering how long we've been through this and going through COVID, to blame it on no crowd. Hey, there's no crowd. We can't get anything going. Because watching this Leafs team tonight, again, brought back memories of even with the crowd there, where they had no flow, no energy at points and times where not even a big hit could ignite this team. And they just look like my beer league team, which is now, hasn't been a thing for a year and a half. But just, it was more like a shinny game as opposed to an NHL game, Gord.
Well, their only disappointing regular season in whatever it is the last five was the first chunk last year. That was in front of a crowd.
Yes.
So the crowd wasn't enough to overcome that. So, I'm tired. There's just
a lazy
narrative,
right?
No more excuses left.
There's zero.
Now, the only thing I'll say is, and I reiterate that, having, chatted with Brendan Shanahan from time to time, he is a patient guy in the sense that if people are thinking wholesale changes, he's given the answer many times. As long as they feel they're heading in the right direction, that he's just a patient guy. It's not a fun answer. It's not a sexy answer, but you just go at it again next year. And, fans don't want to hear that. It's really, in a lot of ways, the template for the Detroit Red Wing team that did that, way back when. So I don't know. I don't know what his temperature would be like about that, because he's Kyle Dubas's boss. I wouldn't think Kyle Dubas or Sheldon Keefe would have their jobs in jeopardy at all. I don't know who the big guns would be that you can make any moves. They made some significant moves this offseason. And again, I get way ahead of myself, but this game just ticks you off.
Yeah.
To see what we saw tonight and just saying, please don't happen whenever. Now, the playoffs are getting pushed back more and more with these games to be made up. So whatever the dates are, please don't have this happen.
Well, number one, I think that's good considering the news on Zach Hyman. We don't know. I think the longer you give him to come back, you know, same for Freddie Anderson. I know we've buried him a lot, or people have buried him in the last little while, but I don't think we've heard the last from Freddie Anderson. And I like to think we're sort of the heartbeat, if you will, of Leafs Nation. So it's not just us two feeling this way. It's not Sam McKee or producer feeling that way. I think a lot of people are disappointed with this effort tonight. And I think if anything, it's to learn from experiences like this for this team, Gordon.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just, you see the great teams or whatever you want to call them. And they do have hiccups during the season. They have some clunkers. There's no question about it. But, you know, when there's a game to be won, they don't screw around.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I use that line, go for the juggler.
They bury
like
them.
Yeah. Like, you know, have a 3-0 lead after the first period of play. And, you know, the Leafs realize they can do the math. Like, that's what they're attempting to do. But it just was strange how you go about it. And then when you finally seem to have it, you quickly give it right back. And the momentum, they never got the momentum back after that first Vancouver goal.
Well, believe it or not, there were some positives to grab from this game, this 3-2 loss to the Vancouver Canucks in overtime. So they did gain a point. We'll get to that. They snapped the power play drought. That's always a positive development on our front. So more to come here. We'll have some post-game reaction trickling in. Sheldon Keefe and others. And of course, Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca upcoming. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. This is Leafs Nation post-game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Yep. After a meal like that, you deserve a little dessert. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Tatfield getting in over the line with a long shot that is stopped by Campbell. Leafs counterattacking now. Have numbers as they get across the line. Nylander in for Matthews. Scores! Austin Matthews chops it over the shoulder of goaltender Braden Holtby, and the Maple Leafs score on the power play with 19 seconds left in it.
Undeniably, the silver lining here in a 3-2 OT loss to the Vancouver Canucks, who hadn't played a game since March 24th. Bo Horvat, the captain, wins it for the Canucks. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you on Leafs Nation postgame at the Golden Muzzy. At Gord Stellick, if you'd like to chime in, your thoughts on this disappointing loss, to say the least. But again, the silver lining, a power play goal, and the guy who ended the last PP drought does it again, Austin Matthews, number 33, Gord.
I don't know when it'll come out, but if someone puts together a collage of all his goals this year, first of all, it won't take very long for each goal, but I'll buy it. I'll do whatever. They are beauties, and he just needs the narrowest of margins, and that was the game that was going to give the Toronto Maple Leafs the win and should have, and all the momentum and everything else. And unfortunately, he's a little bit guilty on the ensuing play about the pass back to nobody there, creating the odd man rush going the other way. But let's talk about his greatness. I mean, just arguably the greatest goal scorer in Toronto Maple Leaf history. That's pretty heady stuff to say with, you know, Frank Mahovlich and a few other players, Daryl Sittler and a few other players having been around. But I don't know. It's pretty incredible. He's something special.
I want to live in the moment too, and we've talked about that. Like I really, really want to appreciate what we're witnessing, though. Like, because it's every game, this guy's scoring a goal, two goals. You know, a Maple Leaf is primed to win the Rocket Richard Trophy. He's going to be in the heart conversation. He is so important to this team, Gord.
Well, and that's why bigger item is why Connor McDavid signed for 8 years in Edmonton. Why would Austin Matthews get a 5-year deal here? That's another worrisome thing. It's still down the road a bit, but that's what the kind of special player I think he is, much like, hey, Connor McDavid is an incredibly special player as well.
We're in a window. There's no doubt about that. Austin Matthews, number 33. They score on the power play. They lose in OT, 3-2 the final. Here is Austin Matthews.
Hey, Austin, what did the Vancouver Canucks show you guys tonight? Obviously, a lot of people had them counted out before tonight's game.
You know, I think, you know, what we did, you know, with turning over the puck and stuff, I definitely think we did enough had plenty of enough chances to obviously win the game, but you know, and add to our lead and stuff like that. But you got to tip your hat to the goalie. Hope he played unreal tonight. He made some unbelievable saves, and you know, he's still on his head for them. But obviously, there's a lot that we can take away and improve on, and obviously clean up. But you know, our goalie made some pretty good saves. So.
What's the concern level about Zach Hyman right now?
I don't know. I do not have an update on him. So obviously we're hoping for the best. He's a critical part of this team. And I mean, those kinds of plays, the knee hits, I mean, they're scary. So obviously, I hope he's doing all right.
Next up, we'll go to Mark Masters, TSN. Go ahead, Mark.
Austin, what can you tell us about what kept you out Thursday and how did you feel tonight?
Yeah, I just wrist flared up on me pretty bad in the end of Montreal game. So I didn't, I wasn't feeling much better in, against Calgary at home. So I just decided to take the game and get some work on it and just kind of, let the inflammation, everything kind of settle down, and it's feeling much better now. And I mean, I felt pretty good tonight.
We'll take two more here. We'll go to Andrew Knoll with the New York Times. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, Austin, I just wanted to ask you, big day for the hockey world tomorrow with Patty setting the record for games played. Just your thoughts on the milestone and maybe your favorite Marlowe moment from his 2 years in Toronto. I know you guys were close. It could be on the ice, off the ice, whatever, sticks out in your mind.
I mean, there's honestly too many. Myself, him and Mitch were extremely close, and he treated us like family. He treated everybody like family, but we definitely spent a lot of time with him, at his house, with his kids, his four boys, and we just always had a blast. So I can't say enough great things about him. Just the way he treats the staff, teammates, I mean, you name it, he's a first-class human being, and I couldn't be happier for him. It's a huge, huge accomplishment, and I think just a testament to the kind of professional that he is and the kind of person that he is and the amount of work and hours that he's put into this craft to obviously play this long. So I know everybody in our locker room is extremely, extremely happy for him, and it'll be pretty amazing to watch tomorrow night.
And last one, we'll go to Shen Peng with the Hockey News. Go ahead, Shen.
Austin, I thank you so much. I wanted to ask you, I'll go off that last question about Patty. You saw a different side of Patty than, of course, a lot of us did. Can you just tell us about maybe the fun side of Patrick Marleau?
He's great. I mean, he's pretty quiet and shy. I think he comes off like very reserved, but I think once he gets comfortable, he's an amazing guy to hang out with and loves to have fun. Like I said, he treated everybody like family, and lucky to be extremely close with him and get to play with him. I mean, he's a living legend, and like I said before, I couldn't be happier for him. It's a huge milestone and a huge accomplishment.
Okay, there is Austin Matthews scores his 33rd of the season on the power play. Again, another goal for Matthews, and certainly a big night coming up tomorrow for Patrick Marleau, Gord.
Yeah, it's interesting because one of the controversies was Austin Matthews' lack of ice time in the playoffs, and it was at the expense in many ways of Patrick Marleau, who got a disproportionate amount in a lot of people's minds the other way because he was Mike Babcock's favorite. But yes, congratulations to Patrick Marleau. That's going to be a great record. It's unfortunate he's not having a great season, nor are the San Jose Sharks, but it is quite an accomplishment.
I would like to purchase a Hartford Whalers Patrick Marleau jersey because he was a Cane for a cup of tea, right? For a first-round pick. Do you remember that?
Yeah. The Toronto Maple Leafs had to give up a first-round pick for Carolina to take his salary. And, in all fairness, getting John Tavares, you couldn't argue about that happening a year later, but that's what put them in cap trouble.
Yes, so congratulations to Patrick Marleau. It's going to be a historic night tomorrow for sure. That was Austin Matthews. Now we're going to hear from a red-hot John Tavares. Two assists in this game. That was 12 points in the last eight for the captain.
Hi, John. What goes through your mind when you see Zach Hyman limp off the ice like that?
We just hope he's okay. Such a integral part of our group. I think the elements he brings to our team, you can't replace that. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. He's battled through so many things since my time being here, the competitor that he is. It's impressive, and obviously plays such a key role for us. So I know he was really positive in the room, very optimistic. So hopefully nothing too serious.
Did you see the hit?
I did.
And your
Yeah, didn't love the hit. Obviously he got a five and a game misconduct for a reason.
Next up, we'll go to Mark Masters, TSN. Go ahead, Mark.
John, a lot of us weren't sure what we were going to get from the Canucks tonight, just considering the layoff. What, how would you describe the opponent you faced this evening?
Well, they're a very good hockey team, and they competed hard. You know, I thought Holtby played extremely well. We had a lot of looks on net, and it was a competitive game. It was tight. Obviously, we didn't take care of the lead the way we need to, so that's on us to do a better job, especially on the road and in the way we, I thought, had good control for lots of parts of the game. You know, we just didn't do it enough consistently, even though a lot of the game we created a lot. But they competed hard. They skated. And we knew it wasn't going to be an easy night. You know, they've been through a lot. I'm sure something they wanted to rally around. They had the extra days prepare. So we just tried to come in and make sure we were prepared ourselves. And we know that we got to be a lot better.
What stood out to you about William and his return to the lineup?
Yeah, it was pretty seamless. He looked very comfortable, you know, making plays, you know, feeling the time and space out really well, which, you know, is hard to do when you've missed a bunch of time. And not only that, but he went through, you lose a lot of fitness and whatnot. So, you know, credit to him to staying with it and doing what he could and picking up back up where he left off, back up to speed and making contributions for us today.
Okay, there's John Tavares, 12 points in the last eight. Nylander gets two assists. Ditto for John Tavares, who's been hot as of late. Meantime, we'll hear from Sheldon Keefe coming up later on, but he says the Leafs will know more about Hyman's status coming up tomorrow. They're not really giving much on that front. We didn't expect it. Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca is coming up momentarily. Actually, we have him right now as you bring in Luke Fox. Before we get to that, where does this stack up, this loss with the 5-1, you know, come from behind loss to the Ottawa Senators earlier this year in the Zamboni game?
I did see that David Harris was trending on Twitter again for a minute. So that kind of lets you know where some members of Leafs Nation's heads are at right now.
Yeah.
You know what? I like to look at it as, you know, this is a pretty fabulous win by the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, to be off ice and to be dealing with COVID and everything that they've gone through, for Braden Holtby to come out and stand on his head and somehow this team to find a way to win it in overtime. I mean, the Leafs severely outplayed them. You want the 2 points, but Toronto was the dominant team, I thought, throughout the game. It's just Holtby's spinning on his back and kicking out both pads and clicking one away from Wayne Simmonds. And Mitch Marner may have scored in the last minute. We don't know because there wasn't a good enough camera angle to see. The Leafs are the better team, but this is a nice night for a Vancouver team that is out of the playoffs and, you know, is coming off quite a health scare.
Well, I mean, Vancouver, if they get on a Nashville type tear, you never know. It's a good start for them, but
pump the brakes, Gordon.
Yeah, but I'll acknowledge certain Braden Holtby and Bo Horvath and, you know, Myers playing over 30 minutes and stuff. But I think when we get back to this just has too many similarities to knee jerk reaction and justifiably so the Columbus syndrome from the summer, just about a Leaf team that seemed to be, especially when they had a 2-0 lead, didn't have the it factor to close it, seemed uninspired, seemed not thinking, not on, you know, in the latter parts of the game when they should have owned an exhausted Vancouver Canuck team. And that's a concern, and also getting out goaltended. You can say nothing about Jack Campbell's body of work in the big picture, but I think that's the thing people right now, Luke, if you're a Leaf fan, that's the worry. And fine, you have some clunkers during the regular season, but you saw too many of them against Columbus.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's worries. There's red flags, for sure. I think one of them is Jack Campbell's got to have that game-winning shot by Bo Horvat. I mean, he's got to save that one under the armpit there. So, you know, the goaltending situation, Fred is skating again, so that's positive. But, you know, he wasn't participating in full practice yesterday. It was Campbell and Rittich. So I think the goaltending is a concern. I think the power play is a concern. Yeah, they got one. But it was at the end, and it was a very un-power play-like goal, and it took them almost all of the five-minute major on Alex Edler for Austin Matthews to finally convert. It was more of a rush-type goal. It was more of individual skill than, hey, look at the Leafs' power play set up, and they're really wheeling it around. and you know, so they've lost a lot of special teams battles before this one. So I think that's a concern too. And I think the major one is Zach Hyman. I mean, you know, you talked about them kind of losing steam, and it was after Hyman's not there. And I think he does so much for this group, not just in terms of his production, but in terms of setting a tone with work ethic and being a leader in terms of effort and closing games out and doing the little things that when suddenly he's not on the ice and not on your bench, and maybe it's in your mind, oh boy, that's the same knee that the guy needed ACL surgery on 2 years ago. You know, you don't want to be without that guy heading into the postseason.
With Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca, I know they're not really saying much after this one, but what's your gut think when it comes to Zach Hyman? Of course, did not return in this game, but I know John Tavares was looking at it maybe optimistically.
Yeah, John did say that he talked to him and in the dressing room, and he sounded optimistic. But we're talking about a guy who played half of that Boston Bruins series on a torn ACL.
Yeah.
I tore my ACL once. I could barely crawl into the car to go to the hospital. I don't know how he played half a playoff series on that thing. You know, so yeah, he's optimistic, but he's a battler. He's a warrior. So to see him limp off, it takes a serious hit to do that. You know, Edler is, you know, 3+ minutes into a shift, dog tired. I don't think there was ill intent. I think he's just trying to get a piece of the guy and get off. But, you know, William Nylander called it a dirty hit. And the result of this thing is going to have people refreshing their Leafs updates tomorrow, because we don't have anything beyond the fact that he left the game and never came back.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't like the look, but we'll see. And it was a dirty hit. Edler's not that kind of player. Again, a lot of it was precipitated by ineffective power play because they had a minor penalty, didn't score. The only upside was Edler had been stuck on the ice for that period of time that you're talking about, and he thought he had a path to the bench, quickly went the other way, and I think it was more reactive that way because, you know, he was screwed.
Yeah, no, I agree, Gordon. And I saw Kevin Bieksa, you know, was once a teammate of Edler's, but he said that as a common misconception that knee hits are dirty. He's like, you know, 9 times out of 10, they are reactionary. Like, you're just crossing paths with a guy, you're trying to get a piece, and then, you know, that's the worst thing that can happen is knee on knee. So they're usually not intentional because there's a high risk the person sticking out their knee can wreck their knee too, right? So, you know, I don't think that he had ill intent, you know, in a game like this. There wasn't a lot of venom, I don't think, in this game. I think he was just exhausted and made a bad decision.
Luke, just to wrap up here, a couple more questions with Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca. I've been eagerly anticipating the Maple Leafs debut of Antti Suomela. Of course, the deadline has come and gone. How does it line up when it comes to Nick Foligno and the one-week quarantine? Would he be able to potentially play on Tuesday, or is it more something we see? Actually, no, he's only going to Winnipeg, right? Sorry, answer my own question. Well, are we likely to see him on Thursday, you think?
I think there's a chance. I mean, the 7-day, he hopped in his van and kissed all his kids goodbye on the Tuesday, the day after the trade deadline. So, you know, he still has to, you know, make sure his conditioning is right. But, you know, William Nylander was in quarantine longer than that, and he looked pretty good tonight.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just needed one practice, and he was good to go and didn't look like he missed a beat. So I think Foligno will be champing at the bit to get out there, you know, stuck inside by himself in a hotel room. We could see him this week. We'll see.
I'm champing at the bit to exercise some demons come the Stanley Cup playoffs, because I tell you, I'm just bitter tonight beyond belief. Last one for you. Our first time speaking since the deadline. What did you make of what they did?
I was a fan. Yeah. I mean, you could argue that the prices were high, but I think when you do that, you're probably comparing Foligno to like the Taylor Hall trade. And it's unfair to compare those two situations, I think, because Hall had so much leverage in terms of a no move clause. And he basically, it sounds like he
kind of dictated his destination. Whereas Foligno, there were multiple teams interested in a guy like that. He's built for playoff hockey, and I think he's a fabulous addition. We were talking about Hyman. If there's any guy that can play a Hyman type of game in terms of versatility and killing penalties and blocking shots and throwing some hits and parking himself in front of the net, it's Nick Foligno. So I really like that addition. You know, adding Ridge as some insurance, I don't think that's a bad move. Ben Hutton, I don't know, but I do think that you need extra defensemen in the playoffs. So I like that Dubas didn't sit on his hands. He went and addressed multiple positions.
I'll speak for myself. I will miss Alex Barabanov, sadly. No longer a Maple Leaf. Luke,
it's not the same. Yeah.
It just hits differently. Luke, you're the absolute best. Thanks so much for this.
All right. You'll be staying up late to watch him and play with the Sharks, I guess. Eh?
Rest assured that will be happening. Thanks so much for this.
Okay. Take care, guys.
So,
do you think Barabanov will be the first guy to mob Patrick Marleau when he has the consecutive game streak that way?
You know what, Gord? I was watching hockey this week, and I'm the only guy watching Columbus Blue Jackets hockey. And who's on the D pairing with Seth Jones? Mikko Lehtinen.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
Mikko
Lehtinen
is, good point by Luke. They didn't get Nick Foligno to play in place of Zach Hyman.
Yes.
You're trying to think other roles. But yeah, that the timing due to the unfortunate injury. And we'll find out more now.
Yeah.
You know, perspective. You know, one tweet says Leafs have lost two games in regulation since March 19th. So they've earned 21 of a possible 28 points in the last month while tied for second most points percentage in the NHL. Keeping that in context.
Yeah.
Tonight's inexcusable. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It is inexcusable. Tonight, I get all that, but this is inexcusable. Like, it was a great story last year, again, to reiterate, David Ayers, the Zamboni driver. But it was against the Leafs. This is a great Vancouver story tonight, but it's against the Leafs. Let those stories happen at someone else's expense.
That's it, Danielle. Open up the phone lines. No, I'm kidding. We'll hit the break. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Let our trained professionals help you come down from the high of the game here on the Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
There is nothing like a Sunday night therapy session after a 3-2 loss in OT for the Maple Leafs against the Vancouver Canucks. Again, a team that hadn't played since March 24th due to COVID protocols, and COVID just running rampant through that team. But again, credit to Vancouver, but also the Maple Leafs need to be better. And they were decent. They're pretty good in this game. But still, you got to find a way to win that hockey game for how dominant they were. And Braden Holtby, a big-time story. Nick Alberga. And Gord Stellick breaking it down with you at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. In mere moments, we'll hear from Sheldon Keefe. The goaltending, certainly a topic of conversation. I would say Jack Campbell, Gord, has come back down to earth the last little while.
He's had a few ordinary games, and he's kind of given us a glimmer why he never got established early on. And I'm not going to pile on. He's got that team record. It's pretty incredible, and he really filled the void with goaltending injuries. So, but yeah, just the last few games, it's been a subpar goaltending on his part.
We hear now from Jack Campbell.
Hey, Jack, a lot of good things happened to you and the team for a few weeks. Now a bit of a downside. What do you guys have to do to get back to where you were?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a slump for us and myself personally. Thought we played a really strong game, you know. They battled hard, Vancouver. They were in obviously a tough situation and played hard. And I thought our guys showed up and played. You know, I thought I felt a little bit better tonight, and you know, I just would like to have had a couple more so we got the 2 points.
Next up, we'll go to Mark Selinsky, Toronto Star. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, Jack. Did Vancouver at all surprise the team with the amount of compete level they had, especially coming off a 3-week layoff?
I don't think they surprised us with it. I mean, coach did a good job of, you know, warning us that they were ready to go. And I thought they came out pretty hot, actually. They looked really good. And I thought our guys looked really good, too. We had a lot of chances. Holtby was sensational for them. And, you know, he just outplayed me tonight. But, you know, I thought our guys, you know, deserved the 2 points.
And last one here, we'll go to Mark Masters, TSN. Go ahead, Mark.
Pretty quick.
Jack, how hard is it to see Zach Hyman leave the way he did, and how would you describe what he means to the team?
I mean, he's a warrior, and, you know, he kind of does it all for us every single night, and
he's just such a valuable guy, player on our team and in the dressing room. And, you know, we love him, and he works so hard every single night for our team and does everything he can to help us win. So it's obviously a huge loss anytime he leaves the lineup. But, you know, I thought our guys pushed hard and, you know, we could have won the game.
You obviously deal with William Nylander all the time in practice. What does it mean to the team to get him back, and how would you describe the way you can shoot the puck?
Willie's got a phenomenal shot. He, you know, I've been with the team a little while now, and he still surprises me with it. You know, he's a highly gifted player, and, you know, he's a great teammate. So we really enjoy having him back, and he obviously brings a huge plus to our game. And I thought he looked really, really good out there tonight.
All right, there is Jack Campbell once again, a reoccurring theme, taking the blame, Gord. I don't want to see that every game, though.
Yeah.
I get being a nice guy, but, yeah, like, it's you can have a bad game sometimes, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, but he's had three of them, and he's been out goaltending, and that was a little different one tonight. And again, the difference kind of comes down to the Leafs had figured out a way to break Braden Holtby. They had the 2-0 lead. They had control of the game, okay? This isn't something that it's nothing-nothing and you're getting to late in the second period and then Vancouver's outshot 3-1 and they finally break the ice. This is the Leafs had broken that log jam and then gave it all back. And Jack Campbell was part of it on, you know, two of the three goals were gettable, very gettable.
Very gettable. Now, I ask you this question because I love asking you this question. Tuesday night, the Maple Leafs visit the Vancouver Canucks. Does Michael Hutchinson start? No. Does David Rittich start?
I think David Rittich could start. Yeah, I think David Rittich starts. I'd give him a go. I still always wonder, is Jack Campbell 100% healthy? I would just, there's always been that. But anyway, he played fine through all that, so it's not that. But I would go with David Rittich and then come back with Jack Campbell against Winnipeg. You know, again, a little bit load management that way and give Rittich some stops. And Freddie Anderson has been seen on the ice, so let's hope he gets back and he gets healthy and he plays like we know Freddie Anderson can play.
Well, the way I see it, you got David Rittich, might as well utilize him. And if you think and know that Freddie Anderson at some point in time will return, Jack Campbell, you want to keep him fresh and get him healthy, then you use Rittich, and that's that. And that's why I expect Rittich to play on Tuesday night and use your three goalies. They're all NHL goalies, with exception of maybe Michael Hutchinson, not burying the guy. It's just truth. So I'm with you. I put Rittich in there on Tuesday, see how he does against the Vancouver Canucks, and hopefully we see a bit of a response from the Maple Leafs, because again, bottom line, just a disappointing loss, at least from our perspective, as we hear now from Sheldon Keefe.
Sheldon, how is Zach Hyman, and what was your opinion of the play?
We'll find out more tomorrow, and my opinion doesn't matter.
And obviously, a couple of players said that you yourself you expected a big effort from Vancouver tonight. What exactly did they bring tonight that frustrated you guys?
I don't know. Their goalie made 10 point-blank saves.
Next up, we'll go to Luke Fox, Sportsnet. Go ahead, Luke.
What did you think of the work Tavares and Nylander did with Robertson on their line tonight?
I thought they're okay. I thought, you know, especially early in the game, they had lots of jump, not just on Willie's goal, but, you know, Robertson had a number of really good looks and chances. Shots just didn't fall for him, but we let the line look good. It changed it in the third for a bit there, mainly just because of the matchups and trying to protect the lead, but went back to it once it was tied again.
Next up, we'll go to Terry Koshay, Toronto Sun. Go ahead, Terry.
Sheldon, what did you think of the two new defense pairs you used tonight?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
The new look on the defense, the two pairs that you had, the switching of that, what did you think of their play?
I'd have to watch back on video, but I don't think it was in any way a factor in the game today.
And last one here, we'll go to Mark Masters, TSN. Go ahead, Mark.
Sheldon, the defense has been healthy much of the year. What was the thinking in terms of getting a different look tonight?
Well, we've been talking about it for a couple months now, to be honest. Well, really, probably since the offseason. We've been talking about using different looks. And you know, we put Brody with Riley to start the season. And, you know, we like that. We like Muzzin Hall, of course. But Brody's a new player for us, and we haven't tried anything else, and injuries and such, you thought, you know, might force you to change things up at different times, and it hasn't happened for us that way. So we've been talking about it and just thought, you know, we had a couple of days between games. We had a practice yesterday. We were able to get them to practice that way together, and Just want to get a look for it. We don't know what's going to happen here ahead of us, and just think it makes sense to get people comfortable playing with different people.
Sour. There is Sheldon Keefe. Usually he's, you know, pumped up to be there. I guess we're not the only ones who are a little disappointed by this loss.
Yeah, you know, and quite often we're waiting for the post-game comments to come, and they go on for quite a while. And I really like listening to Sheldon Keefe. He generally takes a bit longer. He's pissed. This flat out's inexcusable.
Yeah,
that's it. That's he's not gonna say that because he wants to give Vancouver credit, but that's what he is. My opinion doesn't matter about different things. Anyway, that's what he is.
That was better than your Babcock. I'll give you that.
Yeah, well, he's biting his tongue, biting his lip, and he just wants to get through it, and he is pissed.
Yeah, that was way better than Gord's Mike Babcock impression.
Thank you.
No doubt about that. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. We'll wrap things up after this. A 3-2 OT loss to the Vancouver Canucks. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, final segment. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick here on Leafs Nation post game. A fourth consecutive loss since the trade deadline, by the way. Coincidence or not, that's the way it is right now for the Leafs. Two of those games after regulation, so that's the positive way to look at it. But certainly, I don't know for you, it's not the losses, Gord. It's more so the pending status update on Zach Hyman as soon as tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I mean, what a double clunker to have all the plaudits to Vancouver, well-deserved, to have an inexcusable loss considering you had a 2-0 lead and had momentum. But Zach Hyman, same knee. He had surgery on a couple of years ago. The guy is just the consummate pro. The guy is who you have to try to figure a way to keep next season. We have to believe he wants to stay here. And anyway, just hope the news is as good as possible. There's no question he'll be missing games in it. It could be something like a knee ligament tear, which – again, that could be the rest of the season. I'm just giving the two extremes. Let's hope it's not the latter.
Yeah, let's just hope it's a stinger because he's Mr. Sokolov, and I don't want him on the actual Sokolov list. That just it doesn't hit right. You know?
No, it doesn't at all. And just as a cheap shot too. I know we talked about it knee on knees, how they happen. They're kind of reactive, but it's there's a code. Just like there's a code of respect for what the Vancouver Canuck players and personnel have gone through. And you know, Sheldon Keefe had mentioned that reaching out to Travis Green. It showed him chatting with him well before the game. There's the two of them on their respective benches and that, and there's a respect that way. So it just was unfortunate.
Yeah.
So on the ice, though, they did get a goal, which you thought at least they'd come off with a win. You know, small victory compared to that being any kind of significant injury, and they don't. So, boy, oh boy, we'll be at it for the Vancouver game on Tuesday. But they better bounce back big time. You know, it's time for a bit of a statement. You know, we've been very patient. We keep things in perspective.
Yeah.
But this is not a rebuilding year. You're not tanking it to get Auston Matthews. You've had Auston Matthews for a number of years. This is the window. It's showtime.
Now, Gord, call me old school, and I think we're both in that level. But do we even see a body check after the Hyman hit?
No.
I don't know what kind of response I'm looking for. Again, Edler left the game, 5 in a game, but maybe even just like, you know, rub a guy off on the board. Like, I don't know. Like, I read too much into that, but it's like there was no physical component at all following that hit, which there should have been in my opinion.
Yeah. No. And again, if you're, you know, I know that's not the style to play the Leafs play. I get that.
Yes.
But, you know, you've got a Vancouver team that, and I'm giving them all kinds of plaudits, but let's face it, they can't be game ready. So you want to use the speed, which I thought they did for a chunk of the game, to really dominate the Canucks. And then also physicality is another way of wearing things down a little bit, being a little bit more physical than usual. But I think because they finally had the 2-0 lead, they got to where they should have. And then they got greedy with the D coming up, Bogosian and Dermott getting caught out. And all of a sudden, Vancouver has the momentum. And just at the time when you thought the Leafs for sure would have the edge in play because Vancouver would be tired in the third period, no, Vancouver had it, and they had an overtime to boot. Makes no sense.
What do you think Pierre Engvall was thinking about tonight, Gord?
He thinks, I got a good chance of playing the next day.
I just thought about that. No Pierre Engvall tonight, sadly. Yeah.
Well, healthy scratch, and those are the guys that, you know, Sheldon Keefe's chat. You need more out of Kerfoot. You need more out of Thornton. You need more out of Simmons. You need more out of Engvall. You need, again, we're getting back to the depth lines.
Yes.
You need a little or a lot more out of, you know, Mikhaev's got to score. It looks great. Skates all over the place. You got to start getting more to those guys.
And again, we hope you enjoyed this therapy session here on Leafs Nation postgame tonight, because again, we're just trying to avoid that conversation come the Stanley Cup playoffs, where we hope there's a switch. And again, the Maple Leafs have had a brilliant season, but I'm at a point where if I don't see it in the playoffs, then there's something majorly wrong with this team.
Yeah, we're counting them on really busy.
Yeah.
You know we're counting.
I want to work till mid-July, Gord.
Well, you've been to a couple of Final Fours with Pat Quinn. I've been there, Final Fours in the Pat Burns era as well. Like, we didn't go to July then, but we will go to July this time if you start going, if you go that deep.
Very well put. A reminder, all coming up on Tuesday night in podcast form, we'll have Leafs Nation postgame for you. The Maple Leafs trying to rid themselves of this winless skid. Four in a row after just a tough, tough loss, at least for Gord and I. 3-2 OT loss to the Vancouver Canucks. The Canucks hadn't played since March 24th, and we'll see if there was a response coming up on Tuesday night. Many thanks to Luke Fox, Sam McKee, and Danielle Furtado. For Gord Stellick, I'm Nick Alberga. The Maple Leafs lose at 3-2 in overtime. We'll talk again on Tuesday night. Take care.